إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد And to continue with Al-Aqeed al-Tahawiyya, the creed compiled by Abu Ja'far, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then we were still on the topic of Al-Qadr, pre-decree. And last time we had the points number 98 to 105. فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَ فَعَلَ فَقَدْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ So whoever asks, why did Allah do such and such? Then he has rejected the judgment of the book. وَمَنْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ And whoever rejects the judgment of the book is one of the unbelievers. فَهَذَا جُمْلَةُ مَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ هُوَ مُنَوَّرٌ قَلْبُهُ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى So this is in summary what is required by one whose heart is enlightened from the beloved servants of Allah the Most High. وَهِيَ دَرَجَةُ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ And it is the level of those firmly grounded in knowledge. لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ عِلْمَانِ عِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَوْجُودٌ وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَفْقُودٌ Because the knowledge, al-ilm, is of two kinds. Knowledge which is present within the creation and knowledge which is absent from the creation. فَإِنْكَارُ الْعِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ كُفْرٌ وَالدِّعَاءُ الْعِلْمِ الْمَفْقُودِ كُفْرٌ So denying the knowledge which is present is unbelief and claiming to have the knowledge which is absent is unbelief. وَلَا يَثْبُتُ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِقَبُولِ الْعِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ وَتَرَكِ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ الْمَفْقُودِ And iman, true faith, is not established except through acceptance of the knowledge which is present and leaving aside the knowledge which is absent. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمْ And we have iman in the preserved tablet and in the pen and in everything which has been inscribed in it. And then the section on pre-decree, obviously because of its importance, it continues. And just before we continue, then a point of correction, something that we had last week with regard to the point about knowledge being of two kinds, the knowledge which is here, the knowledge which is mentioned is of two kinds, the knowledge which is present here. I mean the knowledge of the book and the sunnah, the Islamic legislation, and what is contained in it with regard to rulings and prohibitions and information about the future and so on. And the knowledge which is absent, ilmul ghaib. So Sheikh bin we had a footnote from Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, where he commented upon the ilmul ghaib. And mentioned that whoever claims knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, then he has committed unbelief, kufr. And he quoted the ayahs in that regard. And he quoted some ahadith and incidents from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show that not even the best of the creation, not even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had any knowledge of the hidden and unseen, except that which Allah gave to him. And he mentioned, as an example, to prove this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know the hidden and unseen, he said, the incident of the false doubt and the slander raised against Aisha radiallahu anha, he said he did not know her for certain of her innocence except by the revelation being sent down. And then he said, and he mentioned a second incident, he said, and when her necklace was lost on a journey, then when I was quickly mentioning it, I joined these two incidents together. And in actual fact, these are two separate incidents. So that's a correction of what I said, a slight correction there, that no doubt when the incident of the false doubt and slander, that on that incident, Aisha radiallahu anha, she lost her necklace that time, but there was another occasion. This was the second thing mentioned by the Shaykh, was a separate occasion, when they found it underneath a camel. This was a separate occasion. And both narrations occur in the Sahih of al-Bukhari. And with regard to this week, and as we said, then the matter of pre-decree continues. Begin with point 106. So the last point that we had, point 105, was وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمْ. And we have iman, true faith, in the preserved tablet and in the pen, and in everything which has been inscribed in it. Then comes the point today, point number 106. فَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لِيَجْعَلُوهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنٍ لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَكْتُبْهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ لِيَجْعَلُوهُ كَائِنًا لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ. At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, so if the whole of the creation were to gather together regarding something which Allah the Most High had written in it that it was going to occur, and they all tried to stop it from happening, then they would not be able to do that. And if they all gathered together concerning something which Allah the Most High did not write in it to try and make it happen, then they would not be able to do that. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, al-kitabah, the writing which Allah the Most High wrote in the preserved tablet, in al-lawh al-mahfuz, is such that no one has the ability to change it. So if the whole of the creation gathered together to change something which Allah has written, they would not be able to do so. And if they all gathered together to produce something which Allah did not write in the preserved tablet, they could not produce it. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Then he mentions the evidence, or an evidence for that, just as occurs in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, wa'lam anna al-khalqa law ijtama'u ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in lam yanfa'uka illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allah lak wa law ijtama'u ala an yadhurruka bi shay'in lam yadhurruka illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allah alayk. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. The hadith reported by Tirmidhi and Ahmad and Al-Hakim and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. The hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ibn Abbas, obviously as part of a longer hadith, he began it by saying, O young man, let me teach you some words. The hadith. So this part of it that the Shaykh mentioned here is the end part of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, and know that if the whole of the creation were to gather together to benefit you with something, they could not benefit you with anything except something which Allah had already written for you. And if they were to gather together to harm you with something, they could not harm you except with something which Allah had already written upon you. The pens have been raised and the scrolls have dried. The pens have been raised and the scrolls or pages have dried. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so there is no altering and no changing that which Allah the Majestic and Most High wrote down in the preserved tablet. Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. And with regard to the next point, point number 107, جَفَّ الْقَلَمُ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَا أَخْطَأَ الْعَبْدُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ وَمَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ. He said, the pen has run dry, having written down whatever will occur until the day of resurrection. And whatever the servant misses out on, then it was never going to come to him. And whatever strikes him, then it was never going to miss him. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this is the meaning of iman, of having true faith in al-qada wal-qadr. This has been summarized in this point, point number 107. This is the meaning of having iman, of having true faith in the preordainment and the pre-decree. That you know that nothing befalls you, nothing happens to you, except that which Allah has written for you. And that whatever strikes you could not have missed you. And whatever missed you was never going to befall you. So in other words, the Sheikh defines, he said that point number 107, that is what it means to have iman in pre-decree. And then he puts it another way, summarizes it a different way, saying that you know that nothing befalls you except something which Allah has written for you. And that whatever strikes you could not have missed you. And that whatever misses you was never going to come to you. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, so if a calamity strikes you, a musibah, if a calamity strikes you, something which is disagreeable to you, then you know that this was written in the preserved tablet, in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. And what you do, if you're struck with a calamity, this is what you have to know. You have to know that it was something that was written in the preserved tablet. And it was bound to happen. So therefore, you are consoled by that and held back from becoming vexed and becoming angry. And you have iman, you have true faith in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So the Sheikh there mentions what to do, what's the remedy if a disaster strikes you, what you need to know when that happens. And that the result of knowing that will be that you're consoled by that and held back from becoming vexed and becoming angry. And that you will have, therefore, you'll be having true faith in Allah. And he said, and whatever misses you was not going to come to you. So the first case, is the first matter is with regard to calamities which strikes you, something which hits you, strikes you. That you know that was something that was bound to occur, Allah had already written upon you. Then the second matter here, and whatever misses you was not going to come to you. No matter how eagerly you sought after it, even if you exerted yourself to the full, then you were still not going to attain it. So if you carry out the means and you expend every effort and you still do not attain it, then in that case, you surrender. And you truly believe in preordainment and predecree, al-qadha wal-qadr. So you've tried with the means, it didn't happen, you tried your best, it didn't happen. Then, as the Shaykh said, in that case, you surrender and submit, and truly believe in preordainment and predecree. Then he said, and you do not become annoyed, and you don't start having misgivings, bad thoughts, and anxiety. You don't have that. He said, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihris ala ma yanfa'ak, ala ma yanfa'uka, wasta'im billah, ولا تعجزن فإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا وكذا لكان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. He said, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, eagerly strive for that which can benefit you and seek the aid of Allah and do not be hopeless. Don't be hopeless or helpless. And if something befalls you, then do not say, if only I had done such and such, then such and such would have happened. But rather, instead, say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Instead of that, you should say, it is just as Allah decreed. And whatever He wished, He did. Because saying, if only, opens up the actions of Satan. In a footnote, they mention this hadith is reported by Muslim. And you'll find it there towards the end of Sahih Muslim in the book of Qadr, the book of pre-decree, a whole book which Muslim includes. And it's from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So here we see in these last two sections, Shaykh al-Fawzan has mentioned both cases. What to do if a calamity, something hits you, something disagreeable strikes you, it happens to you, what you should do. And then here, just now, if you miss out on something, something you want, it doesn't happen to you. And the Shaykh said, when you know this, then the affair becomes easier for you, and you do not become vexed, you don't become cross and upset, and you don't become regretful. For the affairs are in his hand, he, the one free of all imperfections. He said, yes, you should carry out the necessary means and eagerly seek to do that which will benefit you. However, the results are from Allah the mighty and majestic. And you do not know what is the best choice. So Allah, the mighty and majestic, does not give you that thing. And he explains the reason. Because if you were to attain that thing, it would bring harm to you. So Allah knows, and you do not know. So it is upon you to be satisfied with the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. So in other words, you make the necessary striving, that's upon you. Take the necessary means and eagerly strive for that which can benefit you. And the results come from Allah. And if He withholds something from you, you don't get it, then it's because it's something that Allah knows that you don't know, but Allah knows it will cause harm to you. So therefore you should be satisfied with that, with the decree of Allah and His preordainment. Then the Shaykh said, and in the noble Quran, Allah says to His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 51. With the explanation, say, nothing will befall us. Nothing will happen to us except for what Allah has written for us. He is our guardian Lord, and upon Allah let the believers place their reliance, their tawakkul. And he mentions a second ayah. He said, and he says, refuting the unbelievers when they said about those who were killed on the day of Uhud. I mean, obviously the battle of Uhud, with regard to those Muslims who died on the day of Uhud, who were martyred on the day of Uhud. That after that happened, some of the unbelievers started saying things. So the Shaykh said, so Allah refuted them. He refuted what they said. He says, refuting the unbelievers when they said about those who were killed on the day of Uhud, that they said, لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا. Surah Ali Imran, the 3rd surah, ayah 156. So Allah quotes what the unbelievers said about that. They said, if they had stayed with us, they would not have died, and they would not have been killed. That's what the unbelievers said about the people, the Muslims who died at Uhud. If they had stayed back with us and not gone to the battle, they wouldn't have died. They wouldn't have been killed. The Shaykh said, so Allah the Mighty and Majestic said, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِئِهِمْ. Surah Ali Imran, ayah 154. With the explanation, say, even if you had remained in your homes, then those for whom death was written would certainly have gone out to their places of death. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so whatever is written for a person must occur with him. Even if he is on his guard and seeks shelter in a secure place, and he takes whatever precautions he can, then that will not defend him against the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. He said, He the Most High said, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 78. With the explanation, wherever you are, then death will reach you, even if you are within strong fortresses. And with regard to the next point, Point number 108, still on the topic of pre-decree. وَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ سَبَقَ عِلْمُهُ فِي كُلِّ كَائِنٍ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. A saying about Tahawi, rahimahullah. And it is upon the servant to know that Allah had prior knowledge of everything that was going to occur in his creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the first level from the levels of Iman, the levels of having true faith in Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, in preordainment and pre-decree. If we remember that the levels of we have to understand with regard to pre-decree are the four levels. The first of them, al-ilm, knowledge, that Allah knew everything that was going to occur, and so on. The second being al-kitaba, that he wrote it down in the preserved tablet. The third being al-mashi'a, that whatever was going to occur in the creation, Allah wished it to occur. And fourthly, al-khalq, that Allah actually created it, whether it's something good or bad. So the Shaykh said, with regard to this matter here, and it is upon the servant, point of 108, it is upon the servant to know that Allah had prior knowledge, ilm, of everything that was going to occur in his creation. So that's why Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the first level from the levels of Iman in preordainment and pre-decree. That it is upon the servant to have Iman, to truly believe, and to hold as his aqidah, his creed and belief, that Allah knew whatever was going to occur and whatever was not going to occur, knowing it by his eternal knowledge, which has always been and will always be an attribute of his. He knew all things with his all-encompassing knowledge before they happened. So it is essential to hold this as creed and belief. It's essential to hold this as your aqidah, your creed and your belief. Then with regard to the notes of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdulaziz ibn Mani', he made a small point here about this point, which is numbered here as point number 108. He said, this contains a refutation, a rad, a refutation of what is held by the extreme Mu'tazila, those who denied that Allah the Most High has always known, and who said that Allah the Most High does not know the actions of the servants until they actually do them. High and exalted is Allah above what they say. Rather, Allah the Most High said, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Surah Al-Mulk, the 67th surah, ayah 14, with the explanation, should not the one who created know? And he is the subtle and kind, the fully aware. So Shaykh Ibn Mani, rahimahullah, is saying this was the saying of the extreme Mu'tazila, that they denied Allah had pre-knowledge. They denied that Allah has always known. And they denied that Allah knows what people are going to do. Until they actually do it, then they say Allah knows it. Exalted is Allah above that deviation. Rather, as we saw here, as At-Tahawi mentioned, and Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, that we believe that Allah has always known everything. that the servants would do. He's always known it. And with regard to the next point, point number 109, فَقَدَّرَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرًا مُحْكَمًا مُبْرَمًا. So he decreed that decisively and firmly. In other words, following on from the previous point number 108, that Allah had pre-knowledge of everything which the servants are going to do, whatever was going to occur in his creation, and then this point number 109, and he decreed that decisively and firmly. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, so he, the perfect and most high, knew it. Alimahu, he knew it. وَقَدَّرَهُ, and he decreed it. He pre-decreed it. And he quotes the ayah, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 2, the second ayah. With the explanation, and he, Allah, created everything and decreed it, pre-decreed it precisely. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so therefore, affairs, I mean that which happens, affairs are not random and chaotic, or they are not without regulating principles. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The affairs, that which happens within the creation, it's not fawda, it's not random and chaotic, just randomly happens. And it doesn't happen without regulating principles. He said, all of them, all of the affairs, are ordered and regulated by the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree and by what He wrote. Then he said, and Allah is declared free of fawda. Allah is declared free of acting randomly and without purpose. Allah is free of that. Allah does not act randomly, chaotically, and He does not act without purpose. Then with regard to point number 110, that will take as the last point today, and still the matter of pre-decree continues and will continue till next time, inshaAllah. And as for the last point then, point number 110, the saying of At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, لَيْسَ فِيهِ نَاقِضٌ وَلَا مُعَقِّبٌ وَلَا مُزِيلٌ وَلَا مُغَيِّرٌ وَلَا نَاقِصٌ وَلَا زَائِدٌ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ فِي سَمَاوَاتِهِ وَأَرْضِهِ. He said, there is no one from His creation in His heavens or in His earth who can cancel it, can cancel what He's pre-decreed. There is no one from His creation in His heavens or in His earth who can cancel it, nor who can rebut it, nor who can remove it, nor who can change it, nor who can reduce it, nor who can add to it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining this point, no one can act and alter that which Allah has preordained and pre-decreed. No one can repel what He has preordained, and no one can prevent His judgment. Then he quotes the ayah, وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th surah, ayah 41. With the explanation, and Allah passes judgment, Allah judges, and no one can put back or rebut his judgment. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so no one can reduce anything from what Allah has ordained. And no one can add anything to it ever. This is something which has been completed and finished. Then the Sheikh said, so when the Muslim holds this as his creed and belief, then it gives him ease from many doubts and false ideas. In other words, when the Muslim holds this true belief with regard to Allah's pre-decree, then the result is, it gives him ease from many doubts and many false ideas. He said, however, this does not mean that he just sits back and relies upon preordainment and pre-decree and what was written, and he leaves off action. I mean, this belief in pre-decree, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that as a result that he just depends upon the pre-decree and he leaves off performing action. The Sheikh said, rather, he is commanded with action. He's commanded to perform action and to seek for provision and to carry out the means. This is with regard to the aspect of action. And as for the aspect of the results that come about, then they lie in the hand of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And with regard to us, with regard to the people, that's what's upon us, is that we don't just rest and say whatever's written will come to me and just don't act. That is not what's upon us. What's upon us is that we do act, work for provision, and carry out the necessary means. So that's what's required from us, with regard to action. And as for the results, that's something else. As for the results, then they lie in the hand of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And just as a footnote here, they mention a hadith in this regard, where they say, from Ali radiallahu anhu, who said, we were along with a funeral in Baqi al-Gharqad. We were along with a funeral in the graveyard of Al-Madinah called Baqi al-Gharqad, the Baqi of the Gharqad tree, the boxthorn tree. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us. So he sat down, and we sat down around him. And he had a stick, he had a small stick with him. So he lowered his head, and he began poking with the stick into the earth. And then he said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مَا مِنْ نَفْسٍ مَنْفُوسَةٍ إِلَّا كُتِبَ مَكَانُهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَإِلَّا قَدْ كُتِبَتْ شَقِيَّةً أَوْ صَعِيدَةً. Then he said, there is not one of you, there is no soul except that its place has been written in paradise or the fire, and except that it has been written down as being a wretched soul or a fortunate soul. So therefore a man said, O Messenger of Allah, shall we not just rely upon what has been written down for us and leave off action? So whoever from us is from the people of bliss and fortune, then he will go on to perform the actions of the people of bliss and good fortune. And as for those from us who is from the wretched people, then he will go on and end up performing the actions of the wretched people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أما أهل السعادة فييسرون لعمل السعادة، وأما أهل الشقاوة فييسرون لعمل الشقاوة. He said, as for the people of bliss and good fortune, or rather the people of bliss and the fortunate, I mean the ones whom Allah has made fortunate people. As for the people of bliss and the fortunate ones, then they will be facilitated for the actions of the people of bliss. And as for the wretched people, then they will be facilitated for the actions of the wretched people. Then he recited, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, the ayahs from Surah Al-Layl, the 92nd surah, ayahs 5 to 7. With the explanation, as for the one who gives in charity and is fearful and dutiful to Allah, then he mentioned the ayahs which follow it. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 1362 and reported by Muslim. And then as for the final summary of the matter of pre-decree, then we'll take that next time, insha'Allah, and what follows after it as well, insha'Allah. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? As for point number 106, it was quite a long point. I'll translate the whole point. The whole point again here. And point number 106 was, so if the whole of the creation were to gather together regarding something which Allah the Most High had written in it, in the preserved tablet, that it was going to occur, and they tried to stop it from happening, then they would not be able to do that. And the second part, and if they all gathered together concerning something which Allah the Most High did not write down in it, to try to make it happen, then they would not be able to do that. Obviously, this point, point 106 and point number 107, as Sheikh al-Fawzan indicates here in point 106, and Sheikh al-Albani indicated with regard to the next point, both these points are taken from the wordings of the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Hadith, we didn't mention the full wording of it, just mention it then. Hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that he said, I was behind Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, riding behind him. So he said, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimatin, ihfadillaha yahfadhka, ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahaka, wa idha sa'alta fas'alillah, wa idha sta'anta fasta'im billah, wa'alam anna al-ummata law ijtama'at an yanfa'uka bishay'in, لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. Hadith reported by Tirmidhi and declared Sahih, authentic by Sheikh al-Albani, with the wording, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I was one day behind Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, O boy, let me teach you some words. Guard Allah's commandments, and He will guard you. guard Allah's commandments and you will find him in front of you, defending you. And if you make a request, if you ask for something, ask of Allah. And if you seek aid, then seek the aid of Allah. And know that the Ummah, if the whole nation were to gather together to benefit you with something, they could not benefit you except with something which Allah had already written for you. And if they were to gather together to harm you with something, then they could not harm you with anything except that which Allah had already written for you. The pens have been raised and the scrolls have dried. Yeah, with regard to one thing that occurs in the sharh, the explanation of Ibn Abil Izz, and Ibn Abil Izz in his explanation, he mentions that the pens with regard to the decrees, the pre-decrees and the decree, there are different pens. He mentions there are four actual pens. The first and the greatest of the pens is Al-Qalam, the pen which Allah first created and which Allah commanded should write down whatever was going to occur. This is the greatest pen. And then he mentions that, but there are also three other pens, and some of them being plural, which come after that. The other pens being plural, which come after. And then just to mention what he says, Ibn Abil Izz in his explanation, obviously anyone who wants to do extra reading, and sooner or later they'll need to anyway, that if they can get hold of the explanation of Ibn Abil Izz, Sharh al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. And as Sheikh al-Fawzan himself mentions, that this is the best available explanation, and his explanation is like an abridgment of that and taken from that. And you can get it as well with the checking of Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah. He's produced a checking of the hadith of this explanation as well. So anyway, in that explanation, Ibn Abil Izz, rahimahullah, he said, that which is indicated in the sunnah is that the pens are four. Then he says, the first pen is that which was general to the whole of the created things. He said that's already been mentioned with regard to the preserved tablet. I mean the pen which wrote in the preserved tablet everything that was going to happen, writing it down 50,000 years before the creation was created. Then he said, then the second pen is the pen with regard, which is the pen which is particular to the affairs of the descendants of Adam. The actions of the sons of the actions of the descendants of Adam and their provision and their lifespan, and whether they will be people of bliss, people of paradise, or people, and so on. After the creation of their father, their forefather, Adam, alayhi salam. And he said, the third pen is that which writes when the angel is sent to the embryo in the womb of his mother, and the soul is breathed into him. And then this angel is commanded to write down. So it's the angel who writes with this pen. Writes down four words. So the second category is with regard to all of mankind, all of them, their actions and their provision and so on. Then individually, each one, each person, when it's an embryo in its mother's womb, that the angel comes and writes down with a pen the provision of that person, his lifespan, his deeds, and whether he will be a wretched person or a person of bliss, I mean a person of the fire or a person of paradise. He said, as occurs in the authentic ahadith. And then he mentions, and the fourth pen is that pen which is laid down until the person reaches puberty, till the person becomes an adult, then it starts to write upon him. The pen which is in the hand of al-kiram al-katibin, the pen in the hand of the noble scribe angels, the noble angels who write down the deeds, who write down that which the descendants of Adam do, as occurs in the book and the sunnah. So that's the four different pens that he mentions. So that's why there's a wording pens and a wording pen. Oh yeah, come on. Yeah, with regard to that fourth pen, obviously with regard to the hadith, that the pen is laid down from three people. Obviously, one of them being the insane person, and one being the child until he reaches adulthood. The pen is laid down for him, meaning he's not held Islamically responsible. You know, with regard to obligatory duties upon him. They're not obligatory, it's not written down upon him. Until he reaches puberty. What does it apply is the one before it, the pen which came before it, the angel when it's written in the womb. The angel when he's in the womb, that writes down what deeds he's going to do throughout his life. Yeah. That will write down. That angel will write it down for him. But as for the fourth one, the pen with regard to his responsibility. If he misses out on an obligatory deed, he's not sinful for that. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.